Me push that button. I might have forgot to. That's right. What if I could say to you, with seriousness, looking you eye to eye, face to face, toe to toe, and I can be pretty serious when I need to. What if I could say to you, I know thy works? Well, let me compliment you. We'll come back to that. For being here this morning. But further, as Tommy pointed out, and he misses everything, I mean, but he doesn't see it from the perspective that we do as speakers. We have been treated like kings since we've been here, and I thoroughly want to compliment you for your hospitality. But I got to thinking about that. Not the speakers only have been treated like kings. You know, eating, a place to stay every night. Told my wife this morning, I said, it's a whole lot better than sleeping out under a tree. Way a lot better. I mean, I don't mean in a derogatory way, but we got to put things in perspective sometimes. Further, we as listeners have been treated like kings, haven't you? Certainly so. The spiritual feast that's been laid out for you, comfortable environment to come into, and then if you are inconvenienced somehow or the other, you can go home, as Tommy said, and look it up on the internet, take a book. There's any number of a dozen ways to study this, and so we've all been treated like kings. But I compliment the congregation, the organization that's laid out here already. This real-time preaching, it's great. But further, internet preaching, that's something I wish Brother Ted had an hour and could just sit down and tell me how that thing works. This little dab of apparatus right here. I asked Brother Donnie the other day. He said, well, he can explain it to you. I'll get with you sometime on that. But anyway, further, the printed media that we've talked about, compliments to you. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes, and if we don't think of them before too long, one person dropped the ball and this whole thing just fall on his face. Really? Well, I compliment and have been encouraged over the years by you as members and members like you, the elders, and even Tommy and his good wife, Sister Janet, and those lovely boys. I'm encouraged. I really am. And I told Tommy once, I've told him a dozen times, he is a person of organization. If you don't know it, you just, like you said, room with him for a day or two. Of course, Janet was behind some of that, but all of his socks were in the right place when he'd open his suitcase up. And he doesn't go to bed until he gets all of his stuff put in the drawers. Man, I just unzipped the suitcase and I'm unpacked. You know? Well, we got to unpack. He says, well, I just did. But anyway, he's an organized fella, and that is the kind of guy that needs a job like he's got right here putting this together. And I appreciate him and the elders for backing him on a lot of things. And the cooks and whatnot, all from the very beginning to end. But this morning, our assignment, I know thy works. Written down in a book form. Take one of those home to your elders. Take one of them home to your preacher. That kind of thing. That's what that one's. That's not mine. I went back there and paid $5 just like you will. And I've got a person that's going to get it as quick as I get home. But anyway, I appreciate the OABS for all the work that they do. Tommy mentioned them. But let me tell you what he said. You know, I tell off on him if I need to, and I do. Here's the assignment sheet right here. You get one of those, okay? All you brethren got one that spoke. I know thy works. Discuss how this phrase is made to each congregation. Well, that's easy. Show how nothing is hidden from the Lord. Larry, could you do that? I don't know that I can. How nothing is it? Something I'm cautious not to do is to get into the mind of God, if you will. I think sometimes we do that too much. Well, God did this or should have said what he meant here was that kind of thing. And you hear those phrases if you'll start listening to Bible classes and preachers and teachers and whatnot. We need to be careful about that. Well, let's go on then. Our assignment, I know thy works. There are congregational differences, aren't there? In differing in personality, differing in what they have focused on over the years, differing in their spiritual character. And I wrote myself a question, is that good or is that bad? Or further, who can say but the Lord, really? You know, we get into that sometimes. Well, that congregation over there, da-da-da-da-da, and on it goes. I want to be a cautioning or a tempering influence on that concept. And I think if we haven't learned anything else, we'll get to our phrase in a moment, but if anything else we have learned, we ought to have learned this weekend, that here's seven congregations. Now, there's some pretty strong chastising remarks if you look in there, and they've all been mentioned and whatnot and covered in thorough detail, and we might get to a few of them. But yet, It's a futuristic thing, isn't it, that the Lord will deal with us and so. That's my point, you see. And I think maybe we, from time to time, get almost, I know I did when I was a younger man. And this study has, if nothing else, has helped me to see that maybe I need to be a little slower, if you will, to be so condemning. Now, I realize there's wrong, and when wrong opposes or presents itself, it's got to be opposed. That's the way you raise your children, and they turn out all right, right? Well, that's the way we need to deal with one another or have ourselves dealt with from time to time. So congregations do have differences in personality, and these congregations were all within a short radius of one another, yet there were varying differences. So should we not see that in our congregations that were within 50 or 100 miles of us right here? They'll be a little bit different. Over the years, they've had different personalities and whatnot, focused themselves on different things. For the next few minutes, then, let us focus on, number one, if you're taking notes, the phrase. We'll look at that phrase, I know thy works. Number two, we'll talk about the speaker, the Lord. Woo! Brother Taylor and some of the others did a great job. I don't know if you noticed some of the speakers. It's great to be able to speak at the end, really. I can review everybody's work, put in what I thought they did best, and throw out what I messed up on. And, man, I got the best seat in the house, so to speak, as far as the speakers. But the idea of Brother Taylor pointing out Friday evening that here the Lord is talking to us. Yes, it's by the pen of John, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course. But yet, put it in your mind in the first person, if you will. The Lord has spoken to these congregations and then indirectly to us as well. And so we want to talk about the phrase, I know thy works. We want to talk about the speaker, which is the Lord. And thirdly, we'll talk at length about the congregations. Well, let's get started then. I know thy works. Look there in your Bibles, if you will, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Can you do that? Look there. And I hope you write in your Bibles, and if you don't, I've got a set of notes stacked this high, so to speak. Oh, and by the way, my time has an extra hour on it. Don't you realize that? I'm the one that gets that hour. I'm sorry. You can put it anywhere else you want, but I know where I put it, right? Well, anyway, no, we're at 30 minutes and 18 seconds, so we will hastily move on. Look at your Bibles, and I hope if you do write in your Bibles that you'll do that. And if you don't, that's okay. I'm not slandering or insulting anybody or the Bible by writing on it. I paid for it, bought it, and used the paper completely and thoroughly. You see, make notes and all that. Some people think it's wrong. Well, that's okay. But make you a copy if you don't, and, you know, highlight the negative comments in red and the positive ones in blue, if you will, and are really not any negative comments, just those corrective measures. But I put a diamond right there by these things, saith he. That comes up seven times. Then I put a circle or a dot right there by I know thy works. And underline some of that stuff. Now, I know thy works. Let that phrase, if you'll do these things I just told you, see them right up and down through there, the diamonds and the dots, you see they're there. So what I'm saying is let that phrase jump off of the page at you. Because just like if I were to get serious in your face and say, I know thy works. Now, obviously, I don't have that power. I may know just a few little things about you, but I don't know why you did that in the background and all the attendant things that go with that. But the Lord does, you see. So that phrase needs to jump off the page to you, underlining it, highlighting it, whatever it is that it takes to make it a powerful or make you realize it's a very powerful phrase. It's a powerful phrase whether you ever catch up with it or not. And so the current then and the current now, this phrase, if you will, it was current to them is what I'm saying, right? It was current to them. I know your works. And yesterday they did thus and so, and the Lord, if he'd have chose to, it would have came up in this paragraph about them or thus. It has current in it, zzz, like that, like a live wire. But it has current running through it even now. Zzz, it's a powerful phrase is what I'm saying. And so it was current then and it's current now. These things can come to us as well. Has current running through it. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, and I'm going to say this because I won't get to it at the end. I'll always forget it. But just put it now and then at the end both in your mind. It says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Why is this book a blessing? What, you know, you can't, you might be an artist. I told Brother Popejoy about an artist that painted, we saw pictures of him, painted all kinds of artistic dramatizations of these beasts and the Lord with the sword coming out, fire blazing out of his eyes and whatnot. And they're supposedly on the library walls at Harding. And he took pictures of them and then put them up on a PowerPoint. Boy, it gets you now. I mean, some of the pictures, I can still see some of the images myself. I'm very visual. But is it because I'm an artist that it's going to be a blessing to me, or is it going to, because I'm one of the congregation? Let me suggest to you a possible answer to why this is a blessing. Because these phrases, "I know thy works," are going to jump off the page at you. That's just one of the minuscule blessings, you know, one part of the many blessings that are available. Be reminded that the Lord knows our works. That's the phrase jumping off at you. So 1:3, it is a blessing, the book is, and there's one of the reasons why it would be, surely. Well, all knowing nature of God comes up. Look at it. There's seven times, chapter 2, verse 2, 2, verse 9, it just goes on to, 13, 19, you see how those dots work for you? Well, anyway, they come up again in 3:1 and then again in 3:8 and then on down there in 3:15. But look at the first one. "I know thy works." Let's talk about that phrase. What does he mean, "I know thy works"? What comes up in this is the all-knowing nature of God. Over in Southeast Missouri, where I was raised, there was a little boy. I didn't meet the little boy. I knew who he was, knew of him, that kind of thing. Preacher was over one time visiting the family, having a cookout, something like that. That little boy was running around there, maybe his daddy or the preacher, one of them said, "Oh," "you better watch out, Jesus is watching you," something like that. And he just, quick as a wink, he darted into a lean-to shed like there where, you know, park your boat under or something like that, stack your wood pile under, something like that. He darted under that shed and he said, "Ha, ha, he can't see me now." We think that way. Not just a little boy. Me and you, we must, because the way we act, we think God can't never see us. Right? We act sometimes like God cannot see us. Well, that little boy illustrates, doesn't he, how we think. But you know, in Amos chapter 9 and verse 3, I marked that dude because it'll always slide out for me. It's never in my Bible when I'm looking for it. You know what I mean? You turn back here and it's gone. But I got it marked. "And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea," some deep places out there in the sea, "thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them." Now, I can give you a real life illustration of that, can't I? What about Jonah? Did God know where he was? Prepared a fish, swam by, snapped him up, put him back out on the bank? Sure. That's a real life illustration in the life of Jonah. And so God knew where he was all the time and what he was doing and how things were going and whatnot. But a little prettier picture, if you will, in the book of John. It was used yesterday. I picked it up and liked it. Boy, I'll tell you, I was reminded of it. You always know that. John chapter 10, the Lord is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 27, 8, and 9. Listen to it. Boy, a review from yesterday, if you will. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He says, "I know them." There's our phrase almost, isn't it? John chapter 10, verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man," watch it, "pluck them out of my hand." Sheep in the Lord's hand. What a pretty picture. What a real picture. "My Father, which gave them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So we're not only in the Lord's hand, we're in the Father's hand. Of course, could I look down underneath my feet and see the fingers of the Lord? No. But I can see he's close to me, figuratively speaking, isn't he? His closeness is brought up, is what it is, to us. We are sheep in his hands. Or further, "I know thy works." He, that is I, the Lord, the creator and ruler of the universe, second person in the Godhead, "let us make man in our own image." That one wasn't used yesterday. I got that one myself, if you will. Book of Genesis. There it is, the second person in the Godhead. I. It's not some, like the mayor. Boy, if you knew the mayor, wouldn't that be something? The governor. We had a governor. You want to fuss at Arkansas. We had a governor that became president. So you could know the governor, and then you could know the president. You know, you see what I'm saying? He's still got a lot of fans over, by the way, too. But anyway, you could know the president. What if you knew Margaret Thatcher or some, the Queen of England? Or, you know, you just go on and on. Be something. Rub elbows with him. Our county judge is retiring. And I told somebody, I said, well, that's nothing. My wife and I ate supper with him one time. Well, you did. You're just a county judge. You see my point? Here the Lord knows you. You got that to brag about. Big-hearted person. You can be big in heart. The Lord knows me. The Lord cares about me. Well, Clark would say in his commentary, the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding evil and good. All things are continually, doesn't go to sleep at night, are continually open and naked before him. The Lord is interested next in our, I know thy, follow it through now, work. The Lord's interested in our work. My wife at one time, she's in banking. That's all she seems to like to do. She changes banks occasionally, but she's still in banking. And I don't know, you have them over here, but they may not be owned by the same people. But if you think of Arvest Bank in Northwest Arkansas, you might as well say Walmart. Because Walmart owns Sam Walton and his people. He's dead now, but his inheritance, his heirs, own Arvest Banks. Okay? She has had Jim Walton, son of Sam, come in and patrol around her little old cubicle where she works. Did work. She didn't work there now. What's that tell you? The president of the company goes all the way down to this person that files records for the company and keeps up with loans and whatnot. Comes all the way. You know, that's about three or four or five hierarchies there, if you will. Step, 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 step. He comes in. He's production oriented. He wants to know about the work, not of his stores. He does that too, I'm sure, but of his banks. I know thy work, he can say when I get back to the home office. Presidents of companies, if you will, should be at close in touch, knowing the work of their companies. Now, would the Lord be any different? No. He knows our work. Now, we know, and it was very well dealt with by Brother Bright the other day, yesterday, in fact. We know that we're not saved by works, but as he pointed out in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 10, we're created unto good works. What's the reason for Christians living, if you will? Sure, go to heaven. That's number one. Second, right there close, ought to be what? Good works. Doing unto others and that kind of thing. All those passages begin to roll out in your mind, don't they? Well, the Lord is interested in our good works. That's the point. Highlight it. The Lord is interested in our work. All right. Rattle my pockets a little bit. Here in a little while, brethren are going to come down here and pick up these trays. The Lord's going to know who took the Lord's Supper. You got a problem for some reason or other, didn't take it. Not a Christian, didn't take it. Whatever. Lord knows. You're going to have to deal with that with him. Get right with your life so you can take the Lord's Supper. So you can commune with the Lord. He knows your work. What about these other trays? These same brethren are going to pass them around. We're going to make a contribution to the good work going on here. You're not going to put in? Left my billfold at home, whatever, I don't know. I can show you my billfold, friends. If I'm awake, it's with me, you know? I carry good stuff in my billfold. Not very big, but I carry the money in there, the folding money. I've got it with me. Well, the Lord knows our work. You ladies that cooked that good meal back there, I have no doubt in believing the Lord knew it. What's it say over on the same book, on about chapter 14? And there what? Do follow them. Works. And their works do. Look behind you. There's a trail of works. Or not. Lord knows it. You'll have to deal with that with him, you see. And so the phrase, I know thy works. Well, the speaker comes up. We've talked about it. Brother Taylor said, that's the Lord. First person. I like it that way. Some of us, I realize, put it in the other verbiage, if you will. Well, John here says, no, the Lord's saying, all is right and good, but get it in your head, the Lord's talking to me. I know thy works, he says. And so the speaker comes out, rattling time and time and time again, I know thy works. The Lord is speaking to these seven congregations through the text to the congregations, seven of them, right? Seven of them. They can be highlighted, named, and numbered. That's one of my questions, by the way, Tommy said. There's 10 questions. I give you an easy one. How many congregations did the Lord deal with? Hey, that's an easy one. Write that one in a free space there, right? Or further, through the text, he's talking to those individuals. You and I talked a little bit back there in the back, didn't we? We got acquainted as we come in the door. Kicked the dirt off our feet, come right on in, parked our car, come right on in. Went in the restroom, washed our hands, laid the Bible down, picked it back up after hands washed, come out, sat down, picked, no, don't dare, yes, they're only got set by so-and-so. They did the same things every Sunday morning. There were individuals walking in and out of where they met. I don't know what kind of building they met in or under a tree or wherever it was, but there was individuals that had these same problems. Do you get that in your head? Yeah, I said, well, I'm not a very good person. Hey, they wasn't some very good people there either sometimes. So don't be too down on yourself. You got brethren. That's what I'm trying to say. The Lord wrote this speech, if you will, these dissertations in each place to the congregations who were made up of individuals. See the descriptions of the Lord. Picture the phrases. Look what he said. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I'd take 100 of them good brethren right now, and we could build a fine congregation, wouldn't you? Them's the kind of brethren I won't be sitting on the road with. Hey, look at my brother in Christ over there. That's who we want. Nevertheless, he says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but they were what? Going through the motions. Their heart was not in it. Breaks our hearts, doesn't it? Well, let's talk for just a few minutes. The Lord's personal connection. I know we've touched on that. Items in his hand. What were they? Test question. You didn't think he was going to get off easy, did you? What were the items in his hand? Chapter 2 and verse 1. Oh, you thought I skipped over it by accident. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his hand. How close were he to his people? That's the, by the way, seven, what was it? Chapter 1 and verse 20 tells you, do a little bit of research. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven are the angels of the church. Debate that. I took the position in the little red book that it was the speaker to the church, that person that would be speaking, whether it be the elders or the preacher. In fact, had a quote in the text there in the manuscript where, I forget who it was even now, that makes a comment that these people would have been used to having, like the tabernacle speakers, one that stood up and did the reading, if you will, and that the Jewish world was familiar with that concept. And so it could have been just as simple as that person. But how close is the Lord to that person? Right there in his hand. I got anything in my hand, I can keep for a close eye on. If I lay it down, that's gone. I'm bad to lose things. But if it's in my hand, I got pretty close watch on it. But let's notice now for a minute or two the Lord's pattern of communication. You know, Tommy, sometimes it just kills me how poor a communicator preachers are. You know, I mean, this, and I could say the same thing for people that write commercials. You ever see a commercial on TV? What was that about? I'd love to have some of that, but I don't even know what they were selling. You know? So we can all be poor communicators sometimes. But the Lord communicated, and if we can seize his pattern, how he communicated, this is all still talking about the phrase, if you will, and the speaker of it, the focusing first on the positive and the praiseworthy. Good leaders, if you will. Those that can motivate people to get their very most on the line, if you will. Coaches and that kind of thing. Church leaders and whatnot. Word almost came out before I had breath to push it out, I guess. Anyway, focusing first on the positive and the praiseworthy. Did I not tell you there's 100 people here I wish I had as brethren right now today sitting beside me? I have them as brethren, though they've dead and gone on. Well, Clark said, God is more intent on finding out the good than the evil in any person or church. That's good. That's what we need to be doing. Looking for the good in a brother and sister. Further, we would do well to imitate this pattern. First, accentuating the positive, then proceeding with any, now listen, censoring remarks. Nothing bad about it. It's not negative and positive. It's just censoring remarks. We need to adjust our thinking on that. Lord didn't give us anything bad, did he? I don't think so. Word of God's good. All of it, cover to cover. Well, let's look for just a moment or two. I know thy works at all seven of them. Next, we've already seen number one up there, Ephesus. Drop down to verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That was dealt with well yesterday. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. What's he saying? Got a lot of money or no money? No money. No money, no funds, he said, right? We've got a widow woman that we know over in Northwest Arkansas. When I was preaching over there, you'd hear the door slightly open. Be listening real close. I'm in my office over there doing my hideout thing, whatever it was I was doing in the office. You hear that door open. Down the hall. Well, Walmart bags rattle, 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 rattle. Them things make so much noise, you know. Back out the door she goes. Never stop, stick her head in, say a word. You look out there and there's a whole bunch of supplies she'd brought in for various programs we was doing. This is like a weekly basis. Sister Mary would bring things in. Did she have the money to do it? No. But she was rich. Rich in heart, rich in willingness, and that kind of thing. Here it is right here. Let's go on. Skip ahead to verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. What a picture protruding out of his mouth, wasn't it? I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. You was a boy, a girl down in the small world, if you will, when you was little and couldn't hardly reach the doorknob. They ever say to you, let's go to the county seat? That's why they talk in Southeast Missouri. We go to the county seat where the courthouse was, where the sheriff had his office. That's the what? Center of power for that county. Here it is, where Satan's seat is. That's all that means. Good job of explaining all the word meanings and whatnot yesterday, though, as well. And thou holdest fast my name. You live right in the middle of Satan town, and you still hold fast my name, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee. And again and again and again it keeps coming up. Well, then in Thyatira, in verse 18, and unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. How'd you like to look him in the eye? We're going to get to. You better be ready. And his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. They're just climbing. They're getting better, 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 better. Look what it looks like to me. Notwithstanding, I'd love to have them brethren standing beside me in a fight, wouldn't you? But notwithstanding, he says, I still have a few things against thee. Skipping down to chapter. And by the way, if you chart these verses, I may forget to mention this. If you chart these out, you got Thyatira right here matches the top of the chart. Most was said to them. Least, I think it was to Sardis, if I remember right. We'll come to a note on it here in a minute. Chapter 3 in verse 1. And the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, he saith, hath seven spirits of God, and the seven stars I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Whoo! He's alive, but he's dead. What a picture. And then to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that the holy, that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth. Billy did a great job of dealing with that. But I got to thinking, Billy, come on, come on, say it one more time. If he'd have just said the door to the ark, you'd get the picture, wouldn't you? Who shut the door to the ark? God did. and nobody opened it. Billy did a great job on that. And I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, opportunity to the church, is what Billy said. And I wrote it right there in my margin. An opportunity stands in front of the church. And so the Lord's pattern for communication is the idea of focusing first on the praiseworthy. And we looked at almost all the congregations except for Laodicea down here in verse 14. And unto me, the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold. Probably the worst one in the picture, at least the way it always comes in our mind. Brother Hugo McCord would write in the Royal Rout of Revelation, most will have... Just ignore that with 7 minutes to go. Thank you. Excuse me. Put that in. He said, Brother Hugo McCord said, most will have to wait until judgment day to have a personal appraisal of their condition by the Lord. He goes on to say, but these seven received a current report this side of the grave. That's good, isn't it? These guys knew what was going on, and they had time, this side of life, they had time to know how to make correction. And so really they were in a good seat. I submit to you that our knowledge of today's congregations, you know congregation A, B, C, D, E, at least as much as you can know them. We can't know them like the Lord knows them, of course. But I submit to you that we have knowledge of today's congregations, at least in a limited way. We also have, as much as our brain will work on it and study and learn, a knowledge of the mind of God, that is the Bible. We can then have a general knowledge of God's attitude as well, sort of a what? Diagnostic tool. You go to the doctor and he gets out a dozen different tools and works on you and this, that, and the other. They were saying the other day, well, we don't take too many. Back surgeon says, we don't take too many scans. He says, sometimes they're misinterpreted. They can create problems, if you will. Well, diagnostic tool for church problems right there. Knowledge of in our brain of situations and then what the Bible says. Note the efficiency that the Lord has. He can turn on a dime just like a sports car. From one moment he's commending to censoring. He says, I know thy works, yet I have a few things against thee. Apply this. You see, we can see ourselves in the compliment column, can't we? We can. Oh, that's like us. We do some of that, can't you? I can read all them again, and I find something in there that I think I'm good at. We can always find ourselves in the positive column, can't we? What in the censoring column? Not very quickly do we line ourselves up in the censor column. Mm-mm, we don't, do we? In fact, recently I was in a Bible class, just sitting there like you are right now, listening to the speaker and some of the comments that were being made. And one of the former elders of the congregation where I was attending and the preacher was teaching the class, he says, I see we can study these easy texts long and hard. We like them. We enjoy them. But he says, when it comes to the hard classes, the hard topics, we don't study them very much. This was what one of the former elders, who is also, by the way, a former preacher, former truck driver, works for J.B. Hunt now on their business side, he said. But I noticed this. That's a good comment. But I noticed this. The attitude, the collective temperature, if you will, of the class went, we didn't want to hear that. That tells us how we are. We don't take censure very well. We don't even put ourselves in the, I don't have any problems. It's funny, isn't it, how the Lord can see our problems, other brethren can see our problems. Why is it we can't see our own problems? We ought to take warning right there. We got them. We just don't have a very good easy of seeing them. Well, the curative is given by the great physician. Not given merely to better people. Hey, you'll have a happy life. You'll be a good citizen. That's not what he said. What's going on here, rather, is so we can adjust and alter and finally, ultimately, go live with him in heaven. Man, that's rich. That's powerful. The Lord wants us. Look at chapter 2. When I say curative, look at chapter 2 and verse 16. And I think this, I saw this yesterday in some of those other speakers, and I think this is, I didn't change it out all the way, but I think it's only written like this one time. Do you hear it? Repent or else. Speaker didn't even pick up on that. He went on to the second phrase. Repent or else. That's Bible, folks. That's not your preacher hard-nosing it to you, if you will. That's Bible. Change or else. We need to, don't we? Well, all we've been doing for the last few minutes is talking about the speaker and some of the things he said. Let's quickly go to the congregations. These congregations are and were our brethren. They were willing to give of their means, surely. They were actual congregations. We've charted the verses. I mentioned that. They gave examples that continue to be timeless in our everyday lives. Well, we notice the good out of the ones, and in those censures we covered as well. Philadelphia. Look at chapter, what is it there where Philadelphia comes up? Look at it. And to the angel of Philadelphia write, chapter 3 and verse 7. These things saith he, the key of David, we read that. I know thy works. Skip down just a little bit. Jews, patience, world, crown. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple. Now, Brother Taylor said you could footnote it this way. He did Friday night, so I'll do the same thing. I read this somewhere. Okay? You know what I'm saying? That's my source. I read it somewhere. That rich people, for all these temples and big buildings, courthouses and whatnot with pillars back in the ancient world, would be sponsored, each pillar sponsored by a rich person. And that they might get to call what the inscription is up there. And that's where this is coming from, it seems. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. But you're not going to be a pillar. Your name's not going to be on the pillar down at the courthouse. Isn't that great that if you're faithful, your name can be written on a pillar in the temple of God? That's rich. That is there. As good as that is, it's real life, though. It's something waiting for me and you. The Lord advises, offering the curative, telling us to open our ears and our eyes and know that there are blemishes in our life and that we indeed need to be corrective of those blemishes. Let me say this. The Lord chose to speak to seven congregations of the church. During his comments to them, he first complimented them and then called attention to their negatives. And finally, often offered the necessary curative. This great text is full of great lessons, ready to be gathered up and used by one that is willing to read and study it over and over repeatedly. How many of you brethren are still yet to speak? How many times have you read this text and continue and continue? Oh, I wish I'd have wrote that down. Well, it's there for you. Take it home. Look at your Bible right there in two pages. Well, remember the book offers a blessing. Chapter 1 and verse 3, like I said, are you ready for a blessing? It's there. It's waiting for you. Come get it. You see, we can feed on the Word of God and receive the blessing. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. Thank you.